take a ride on the MCT.
Funko Pop. Hey guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress. J Money. Just pop the mic, money. It's time for the MCT. Ladies and guys, guys and ladies, MCT. What's up, guys? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson with Greg Walden, yet to be determined what his new nickname will be now that he has an e-bike, now that he has almost every Funko Pop, almost every GoPro.
What about
GoPro?
Greg EV?
Greg EV.
Greg EV.
Mini Elon.
Yeah. We were in a parade this last Saturday, and Greg Walden's wife was in the bus sitting next to me, so we had a conversation for about an hour.
Okay. Well, I'll see you later. I got to come out the yard.
Greg Walden. So that was good. I appreciated that, and we could just kind of...
Here's what we really want to
share our struggles, relational struggles.
Have we marked two more weeks of not purchasing the GoPro Hero 11?
Yep, not buying.
No, still no nothing. Window. Okay. No. We're still waiting for the arrival of that, and I'm betting before Christmas.
No. I got to pay my bike off.
And we have Big Ben, a.k.a. King Ranch, ask you, just coming off a little cosplay this weekend, Fat Thor, in a parade, a Maple Leaf Days parade, Southwest Missouri here. It's a pretty big deal where we're at.
It's become a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I rode the top of the bus, and I almost fell off a couple of times when you braked a little hard, a little nerve-wracking. I sat on top of the bus. Yeah,
it was it's weird. I didn't know you was on top of the bus till after the parade, I thought you was on the one wheel.
Yeah.
And I was like, at the bus, like, dude, he rode on top of the bus.
Well, how it happened, I was going to ride the one wheel as Fat Thor. And then I had a moment. It was like a God moment. I looked up at the top of that bus and I was like, it'd be hilarious if Fat Thor rode the top of the bus. And so I did it.
Well, what was funny is like, I'm in the four wheeler ahead of the bus, and you got all these kids and they look like they're waving at me. So I'm like, Thor. Exactly. Oh, never mind. I'll just show this. Go hard.
I had a guy, we were riding. I had a guy, he goes, Fat Thor. I didn't know who he was. He's like, where's the one wheel? And so they remembered from last year and the Christmas parade. So
praise God.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. So it's been a good weekend. I love the fall weather, the crispy coolness starting to cold. I'm embracing it. Embracing the cold. It was way too hot here.
I agree.
Southwest Missouri this summer.
Well, two months of 100 degree weather is not okay. Like in any, I think anybody's book.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the pumpkins and I just down my first apple pie. Becca helped me, but.
Oh, speaking of pie, Sam's, I was telling Ben before the show, Sam's got these huge, like almost 4 pound pumpkin pies. They're really good.
And they're cheap. They're like 10 bucks, right?
I'm or something game.
Like that. I see those every single year.
I'm game.
So not a pumpkin pie guy, but. A giant. All right, let's get into it. Dudes Talking News, Sports and God. I'm always research. I have you guys in mind all the time when I'm looking up these stories. Okay, so a little while back, I accused Chris Hemsworth of doing steroids, essentially.
Yes.
From the new movie. Which I'm still...
I think I agreed with you.
Borderline with that. Like, but anyway, okay, so I'm a big YouTuber. I love YouTube diving down the rabbit hole of just these random videos. So I found a video from the Luke Sharon channel. Okay, he's got 89.1K subscribers, so not super huge. But Chris Hemsworth arm workout with Ross... Edgley, okay? Bicep occlusion. Sorry. I'm in master's degree student. Come on. Bicep occlusion training. Have you heard of this before?
No.
So this is how he got all pumped up. So basically, bicep occlusion training is where you are strapping straps to the upper part of your biceps to limit blood flow. And then you can watch the video. It's like 15 minutes. I don't have time to explain it. But basically, that was the theory behind getting this massive pumped biceps.
Uh-huh.
As he straps these on, and it just creates tremendous amount of pain. But the blood has to work so hard to circulate and come in and out and lactate and all that lactic acid buildup that it creates this massively pumped arms. So that's how this video was attributing the super shredded out, beefed up arms of Chris Hemsworth.
Okay, I'm not an
expert. So I'm kind of backtracking a little bit.
I'm not an expert.
The potential use of steroids.
I'm not an expert. I don't know if that works or not.
I'm not sure. Is it medically safe?
So it worked on the guy?
Well, yeah. And you can just see that once he gets done, it's like, you know, a tremendous amount of pain.
Well, I thought the whole mentality behind getting shredded was like you need the blood flow because, you know, and I don't know.
Well, I'm wondering if it's medically safe. I mean, you're blocking blood flow. Wouldn't it have a clot risk or anything like that where, you know, if you get back up your blood, or, you know, I don't know.
I didn't get that deep. I didn't waste my time watching the whole video. I just know that it's called occlusion training. And if you want to get super shredded, maybe you can, something you can implement to your workout. Yeah. It's basically you can't replicate that type of intense blood flow without that, what they're doing. So there you go.
Yeah. I mean, Chris,
I'm sorry. You might not be doing steroids.
Whatever.
I still think you're using some substances.
Whatever he's
unavailable
doing
to the common man.
Whatever he's doing, it's working.
That's a mountain.
But here's the thing about famous, you know, people that look shredded. They have nothing else to do other than, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give you charity events maybe sometimes. But they can focus on their physique a lot more than the normal man.
Well, here's why I was suspicious.
And they have money.
When I saw him on the red carpet promoting Thor, he's like super small.
Yeah.
He's like 50 pounds lighter. Yeah. Right. I mean, he's not shredded. I mean, I was like, wait, to just go from that size to just mammothly shredded.
Yeah.
Just seems a little.
Well, not only that, but you're unnatural. I mean, what you have to eat.
He's hanging out with the Liver King.
You have to eat so much. You know, have you ever seen Dwayne Johnson's like food regimen? It's insane. It's not possible for the common man. I watched a video that showed the guy
I believe he's legit. The Rock.
Oh, I believe he's legit too.
Just of his work, how he works out and intensity.
Shout out actually this week is the release of Black Adam. So.
Oh, it's this week?
Yeah, it's this week.
I'm due for a good, just to relax and watch a good movie.
Yeah, well, it's got mixed reviews.
I don't think it's going to be good.
Yeah. Well, they haven't released any reviews for it yet. It's already coming out this week. Usually, I feel like movies, they already have.
A week ahead. Yeah, Thor was at least a minimum of a week. I started watching YouTube videos.
I looked it up today. There was not even a Rotten Tomatoes review or anything. So
suspicious.
It is suspicious. Okay. But the critics have mixed reviews, say it's pretty, the action's pretty brutal. Which I think is what they were going for anyway.
Yeah. But DC has always been like that's why DC just doesn't catch the wave of Marvel. They just get way too creepy and dark and scary.
DC needs to just do what they do, and it's dark and it's, you know, depressing.
Yeah. All right. So I'll do one more story. We'll bounce over to you guys. So with that in mind, if you don't want to be, going from super shredded, you know, there's dieting that goes along with that.
Right.
So we're now, I think we always have been, I guess since I've been alive, there's always been diets, right? Dieting, exercise has always been a popular thing. And so recently, just because we do watch a little bit of Joe Rogan here and there, there's been Liver King. So there's been the carnivore diets become popular. Yeah. Keto, I don't know. Like, fortunately, my genetics are good enough where I'm not obese, morbidly obese. If I work out pretty hard, I stay fairly good. I could be lighter than I am now, okay? I confess that.
All of us could be.
Anyway, I'm not doing too bad right now. Anyway, I don't think anyone would look at me and say, he's fat.
Right.
Is that safe to say? Or am I lying to myself, Greg Walden? Would you consider me fat?
No, you're tall.
Okay, yep. Tall, wait, what does that mean? So, anyway, I'm not, you know, a big guy. I'm tall, but I'm not, no one's ever said I'm a big guy, per se. All right, but with that in mind, so now you have all these different foods, I was watching Joe Rogan, there's this one guy, he's a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master.
Yeah,
and he's black belt. 125 pounds, he only eats
pizza. Might be a double black belt.
Only eats pizza and pasta one time at night, etc. So anyway, I was on, diving down the YouTube rabbit hole the other day. I came across a guy that has only eaten mac and cheese for the past 17 years of
his life. Goodness gracious.
This is from the Vice YouTube channel, which gets a little out there, quirky, weird sometimes.
Okay. Is he friends with the Big Mac guy?
He's not friends with the bit. Now, that guy, I think, is awesome. But this guy was, his name is Austin Davis. He's 20 years old. He spent the last 17 years of his life eating only macaroni and cheese. And they do, it was like not worth the time. It was like an 18-minute YouTube video.
Hang on, I only bounced through it. He's 20?
20 years old.
And he's only eaten mac and cheese for 17 years.
17 years.
So he's been eating nothing but mac and cheese for 3 years. His parents need to go to jail.
He suffers from selective eating disorder, also known as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, an anxiety disorder that's characterized by the persistent refusal to eat specific foods or refusal to eat any type of food due to a negative response from certain sensory characteristics of that food.
Okay, let me tell you what's happening here. This is my opinion as a parent. His parents would only feed him mac and cheese because that's the only thing he ate, right?
Okay.
I blame his parents on this one.
He did, if you watch the YouTube video, he did have some traumatic experience at his child, something with the parents or those kind of things, but still overall kind of weird.
Yeah.
So mac and cheese, 17 years.
Okay, at three.
I could do pizza every day. I'd have to bring variations to it. And
so he's 20 years old.
Toppings, but
this is 17,
mac and cheese not every day.
17 years. He's 3 years old. Okay, his parents decide what you eat at that stage, right?
Yep.
And I don't accept that he just wouldn't eat anything else at three. It's like, okay, give him some chicken nuggets, something. I don't know.
Yeah, but they show him now he's with the counselor. He's getting the help. She's worried. It's a process to break free. But anyway.
I still think that's his parents' fault.
Yeah, I can tell you from firsthand experience back in my early 20s that eating Papa John's a lot will definitely not help you stay skinny.
Yeah. Basically, I was alluding to the fact that you're not going to get shredded by Chris Hemsworth by eating mac and cheese every single day. Greg Walden over here, he is addictive like that, but just not for that period of time.
Yeah.
It's like, I will only eat Ben's barbecue for 6 months until I'm offended.
Greg
then
Walden.
I'll move on. I will only eat Papa John's every day. Then I'm going to get a bad
Greg
pizza.
Greg Walden goes through periods of times where like 6 months at a time, he only eats beaver nuggets.
Yep.
From Buc-ee's.
Yeah. I'm just not as hardcore as the mac and cheese guy.
What if Greg Walden ever gets offended against Buc-ee's and he's like, I don't want to go.
It's going
to
be bad.
Well, I think the rapture happened before then.
Which, Buc-ee's is supposed to be coming to Springfield.
Yeah.
Missouri.
Very soon.
2024.
All right. There you go, guys. I thought that was interesting. Vice, not highly recommended YouTube channel. Sometimes interesting, sometimes not. All right. Big Ben.
Okay.
Speaking of what? Marvel.
Oh, Marvel,
Is that what you're getting to?
Yeah. No. We're going to talk about some movies. We haven't talked about upcoming movies or anything. This is a good point for anybody. I'm going to start off with Rings of Power. Okay, just finished their last episode.
Oh.
If you are watching it and haven't watched the last episode, skip this current point because we're going to talk about it a little bit. I'm excited. I was very happy with the ending, the last episode. Pastor, what do you think?
And let's make sure we're on the same page here. So, spoiler alert, turn it off. So, basically, they figure out that Gandalf, who's not really Gandalf, but I kind of associate, he's a wizard.
Yep.
Fallen Star wizard. And then Saruman is...
Yep. It's Halibran.
Halibran.
Yep.
Which is kind of interesting.
It is. And I called it at the beginning of the episode. When he started doing all this stuff, he comes out... First of all, he's hurt, right? He got stabbed with a spear and he rode on a horse for 6 days to go to that elven city where Elrond was and they could fix him up or whatever.
Okay.
And like the next day he's up and walking around with Calibur.
That was weird.
Yeah. I was like, okay, there's something wrong here. And then he starts talking about, crafting. I'm like, oh my gosh, Sauron is a blacksmith. He forged the rings. I was like, I'm getting these vibes here. I'm like,
He must grow in power, though. He's going to start growing in power.
Yeah, he must.
Because when he had that interaction with Galadriel, it's like, why didn't he just kill her right there? Why didn't he just take her out?
Yeah, I was kind of
curious. Why did he escape if he's Saruman and he's powerful and he alluded her out? Like,
they alluded to he wanted her to be his queen.
Right.
Which is interesting. You might not have caught this, but when he said that she would be... in place they have a queen, blah blah blah. There's a line there that Sauron tells her that she would be that's what Galadriel told Frodo in Lord of the Rings. in the place of a Dark Lord, you have a queen, you know, blah, 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 that scene. So Sauron tells her that in this series, which is, I thought was a pretty cool nod to the original trilogy.
Yep.
And then you might not have caught this either, but at the very end, this guy that fell out of the sky, this wizard or whatever, they alluded to this was going to be Sauron, even in this episode. But at the very, very end of the episode, he says, they're not sure which direction they're supposed to go. And he goes, oh, let's go this direction. And they're like, oh, are you sure? He's like, yeah, if when in doubt, you know, this air it smells sweet this direction. When in doubt, follow your nose, which is a line that Gandalf had in the Mines of Moria. Oh, yeah. When he was talking to Frodo, and you know, they're in the Mines of Moria, they didn't know which hall to take. He's like, oh, go down this way. When in doubt, follow your nose. So it's like, oh, this is Gandalf. Like that was the biggest nod.
I never felt he's going to be, is it Sauron or Saruman?
Sauron.
Sauron. Yeah. I never thought he was Sauron. I didn't.
I didn't either. I felt like it was a, what do they call it? A red herring or like, and you're supposed to think.
I didn't think sorry, I'm getting the names confused.
Halibrand.
Halibrand. That did catch me off guard.
Yeah. I mean, through the whole series, I had heard that they said that Sauron is in the series, but it's not who you expect. So.
Oh, okay. So clearly, going to the story, Greg Walden's super confused right now because he hasn't watched the
series. I haven't watched it. I'm sorry. I'm just listening.
He's like, I'm just thinking about Bad Batch right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, all right. So anyway, he must have got stabbed by the one dude that everyone thought was Sauron.
Yeah. Yeah.
That bad elf guy.
Yep.
So he must have stabbed him and killed him because he said he killed Sauron.
Well, he killed him. If you go back to now, we're just getting nerdy. Sorry, MCD. If you went back to a couple of series before that, that guy talked about killing. A kid, right? Or and they had the whole that story about, you know, Halibrand.
Well, when Halibrand is getting ready to stab him.
When they were he ran away from them, they kind of alluded to Halibrand and that guy having a previous relationship, and then he grew up or whatever. So it's very confusing. I don't know. I feel like I have to go through a second time.
Yeah.
Maybe pick up some things that you missed. But ultimately, good series. Would you say?
Well, you're going to get those Lord of the Ring vibes. You're getting all the elf, the dwarves, the armor, the orcs, the artistry of all of that. Like, if nothing else, we'll take you back. Just
It's
give you good thoughts of Lord of the Rings.
They did a great job of painting the Middle Earth picture. Like, I felt like the original trilogy. With the characters and the armor and the scenery, it very much
you can see how something like that would cost massive amounts of money to pull off.
I think it was just well the
sets
done. Now
design costume.
With that said, what percentage would you think that you would give it on Rotten Tomatoes?
Like in terms of that, I liked it.
Yeah,
I would give it a solid 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10. Okay, now give me a percentage out of 100%. Give me a percentage.
I would say be somewhere between 76 and 82.
Okay.
Percent.
So Rotten Tomatoes gave Rings of Power an 82%.
Oh, there you go.
Yep. IMDb is a 6.9 out of 10. And then Google reviews gave it a 69. So, I mean,
it's funny for me. I'm getting the exact same feelings of Lord of the Rings, though. Like the Hobbits, like annoy me. Like Frodo, like even in the Lord of the Rings, every time it bounced over to Frodo scenes, I'm like, just go back to Gandalf. Go back to Aragorn. Go back to the elves. Like
I agree with you.
And same thing with this one. Every time they bounced back to the little girl. I was like, okay, go back to the other stuff. It's cooler.
Okay, so now let's move through this a little bit on some other shows that are being released at the same time. She-Hulk.
Yeah, I was down on that.
A fan. Not a fan. I have not.
Not a fan. Not a follower.
It's pretty bad. Hard to get through. Okay, now let's go. Rotten Tomatoes. What do you think it got?
37%.
Greg,
I'd say about 35.
It's got an 87%.
Ooh, that people like it.
Rotten Tomatoes says that it is better than Rings of Power. How sad is that?
That is sad.
But on IMDb, it got a 5.1 out of 10. And then a 49% on Google. So Rotten Tomatoes is not reliable, I wouldn't think.
Okay.
Okay, next show that's releasing right now is Andor. Now, Greg Walden, you and I have talked about the show. I didn't even make it through the first episode.
Yeah, me neither. It lost me.
Huh? It did. It lost my attention too. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 91%.
Yeah, that's crap. Sorry.
8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, and then a 75% on Google.
You know what frustrated me the most about Andor? Mm-hmm. Is they postponed Bad Batch till January 2023 for Andor. I'm like, why couldn't they just postpone Andor?
Oh, so Bad Batch got postponed?
Yes. Oh, no. It was supposed to come out on September 28th.
Sorry about that, buddy.
Yeah, it was supposed to come out right on my birthday. And then I'm like, logging in on my birthday. I'm like, where is it at?
So I don't know. Andor might be, I might have to return to it since it got a better rating. Maybe when there's nothing else to watch.
Yeah.
That'll be something I'll go back to. But okay, here's another thing I wanted to get to. There is another Lord of the Rings film coming out.
Okay.
And I didn't know about this. So it's supposed to release April 12th of 2024. It's called Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim. Okay. So this one takes place 183 years before the events of the Lord of the Rings trilogies that came out by Peter Jackson. Okay. And it features Helm Hammerhand, which is what Helm's Deep is named after Helm Hammerhand, right?
Okay.
So it's supposed to be the story of Helm Hammerhand and the Rohirrim and all that. But here's a problem. It is going to be an anime series.
I don't have a problem with anime. I like anime.
I was kind of sad after I saw that it was going to be anime.
I do think there's just a lot of still meat on the bone left there, though, for Rings of Power and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. They're going to come out with more. There's more series.
Is there one more episode left or no?
I think that's it. I think that was the last episode.
That was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure it was the last one. I thought there was another one, too, but I guess I was incorrect. But so let's just run through some movies that are upcoming. We had a conversation about Marvel, and we weren't really sure where Marvel was with movies. Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, supposed to come out November 11th of this year. So that's the next Marvel movie. It kind of looks interesting. I don't know. It looks like there's going to be a female Black Panther, which is kind of the direction Marvel's going with all female leads. Let's see here. Avatar. The Way of the Water comes out December 16th of this year, which I'm kind of excited about that. It's been
I'll see that one.
12 years. I'll see it. I see our Mandalorian third season is supposed to come out February of next year, which I'm excited about that.
That'd be great. Nice. Hopefully.
Yep. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'm super excited about that one.
The next one's supposed to come out.
That's supposedly supposed to be the movie that's very pivotal to Kang.
I've heard. Yeah, I've heard
that. The multiverse.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a big movie.
That's supposed to come out February. Super Mario Bros. Coming out.
I watched the trailer.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be good.
It's going to be one of those where
it's going to be Sonic. Yeah. It'll be like kids will like it. And like,
So it's kind of interesting.
It'll be better than the 1980s Super Mario Bros.
It's definitely probably better.
Was that the 90s one? I thought that was 90s.
Or 90s. I can't remember. One of the early 90s. It was horrible.
Yep. That's due to come out April 7th. It's here, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I love that series.
It's supposed to come out May 5th, which is, that's going to be Batista's last bout as Drax. We'll say goodbye to Drax.
You think they'll kill the character off?
Maybe. We'll see. I'm excited. I don't know. I love that series. Little Mermaid, supposed to come out May 26th.
Yet.
A lot of
controversy. Might be able to get my wife to go to the movies. That's about the only good.
A lot of controversy around that one. We won't get into.
Oh no!
The Marvels coming out July 28th of next year. So your Captain America: New World Order.
Ooh,
coming out May 3rd of 2024. So we're in 2024 now. Thunderbolts supposed to come out July of 24, Blade, another Blade movie come out 24. Yeah. And then lastly, Deadpool is supposed to come out November 8th of 2024. Supposedly Hugh Jackman's reprising his role as Wolverine in that one. Probably won't see it.
Nope.
If we weren't like Christians and, you know, didn't have a moral compass, we'd go see it.
So that's your movie and TV show roundup. It looks like a lot of you know, some Indiana Jones movies coming out, another one of those. So it looks like a lot of recycling of old content.
Well, that's the trend for the last God knows how long. It's reboots.
And yeah, we need something new.
Okay. Well, there we go. Anything else there, Big Ben?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Good information. You did a great job today. Okay. Now bouncing over there, Greg Walden, what's up? Do you want to tell us about your e-bike, or you got stories? Or
I got a story. This is something interesting. Now we all talk about hardcore people. I think this is the ultimate hardcore person.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
A patient plays a saxophone while undergoing brain surgery in Italy. This guy's skull popped open getting surgery, and he's just like playing a tune on a saxophone. And so, I'm like, okay, dude, that's hardcore.
Well, I've heard you're supposed to. So when they do brain surgery, they do keep you awake,
right?
And you're supposed to continue to talk, or they'll give you like flashcards of what it is, and if you start like going off in weird directions, they're like, oh, don't poke that spot.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, oh, if you have brain surgery?
Yeah, they keep you awake for brain surgery, and then like if they like you're supposed to have a conversation, and if you like they're like, oh, don't like pull the needle away from that spot.
Yeah, we don't start speaking Chinese or something.
So yeah, man. So saxophone.
Wild saxophone. Interesting.
So,
was it jazz or did they say?
I didn't see what they say. They didn't say what he was playing, but obviously he must have knew how to play the saxophone.
Or maybe he didn't.
So maybe he was playing a song. And
that would just be so. I'm trying to visualize all this now.
That'd be okay. I got to be honest.
Brain open, people working away. Like, what's up, guys?
As a doctor, I'd be very distracted.
I would be too.
So, Pastor, if you know, God forbid, you ever had to have it, but if you ever had to have surgery, we need to YouTube it while you're playing your guitar. And
oh yeah,
yeah.
All right. I forgot. This connected well back with a food thing. So shout out YouTube. I'm trying to expand my YouTube subscriptions now. I've had the same ones for a while now. But I speaking of food, I found one called One Bite Pizza Reviews. This is an epic.
We talked about this.
Yeah, epic YouTube channel. I'm a pizza guy. Mm-hmm. The only frustrating part of this one is he's reviewing all these pizzas from New York and areas I don't live close to right now that I can't really get to. And I was Googling, in Joplin, Missouri, there's like Domino's, Pizza Hut.
Well, there's a couple. There's a couple.
Shout out Pop John's. We love.
But yes.
I went to Black Boar Pizza?
There's one other. There's really only one or two other.
Yeah. And there's a Wood Fire.
Actual pizzeria.
There's a Wood Fire pizza.
In Joplin area.
I haven't been to.
There's a Wood Fire. There's a Chicago style.
Chicago style. That one's actually really good. I've been to that one. I forget what it's called.
I used to have up in Liberty years back, this is before I even met my wife. They had one called the Dish, and it was like, I think it was a Chicago style where basically you have the sauce on top.
Yeah,
right.
It was a monster thick pizza.
Oh, it's Gusano's in Joplin. It's good. I like it.
But the best pizza in the world.
Good channel to watch. I'm a New York guy. I'm not the deep dish. Is not my thing. But thin and crispy.
It depends. I have to be in a mood. I will eat it, but. See, one of my favorite pizza places is in Ogden, Utah, Lucky Slice. Lucky Slice is good. It was New York style, so it was the thin. It was like the slice was as big as your face. But then there was also a place called the Pie Pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
It was downtown, and they had a, I forget what they call it. It was a Alfredo chicken pizza. And they had a 36-inch pizza.
Wow.
So you take a whole crew in there and then demolish pizza, but... Well, shout out to them.
Well, the best pizza, in my opinion, is the hot tomato and Fruta. That is the
best. I've never been there.
Oh, that is the best pizza.
Man.
All right. Well, we're going to go eat pizza maybe. And when we're done, we'll see what happens. Usually podcasting pizza has kind of been our tradition lately. Yep. But here we go. I wanted to get to this. So LeBron James, NBA season officially starting tomorrow night. The Lakers open up against the Golden State Warriors. I was going to watch the game, but then I realized it doesn't start till 9:00 Central Time where we live. Ooh. So I probably won't be able to watch much of it. But anyway, LeBron James is on the verge of passing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for all-time NBA scoring record. He has 1,325 points to go. The current all-time points leader is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 38,387 points. So it says one of the most hallowed, and this has been around for 40 some years, I think, is likely to fall this season. LeBron James nears the all-time points record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Last season, LeBron averaged 30.3 points per game. If he scores at the same rate in 2023, he would approach the record right near the midpoint of the NBA season. NBA.com will be tracking LeBron's chase for the record all season long. But I did want to give you, so here's the current. So, current leader, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, it took him 1,560 games to get to that record. LeBron is currently at 1,366. So he should get there before 1,560 games.
How many seasons?
It doesn't say seasons, but minutes played. Kareem played 57,446 minutes. LeBron is at 52,138 minutes. Points, we just talked about that. Field goals made, so it took Kareem 15,837 field goals to get to that. LeBron is at 13,543, so he's going to get there quicker in field goals made. Field goals attempted, it took Kareem 28,307 shots to get that. LeBron is at 26,825. And then all-time field goal percentage, Kareem was at 55.9%. LeBron is at 50.5%. So Kareem, a little bit better overall field goal percentage.
Yeah.
But he should get there in less games, less minutes, and less attempts. And that's due to Kareem never shooting threes and LeBron right. having three-pointers on there.
Right.
But just a FYI, for all those haters that say, oh, you know, Jordan was just such an amazing shooter, so much, such a greater shooter than LeBron James. Well, guess what? Michael Jordan's all-time field goal percentage is 49.7, about one percentage point lower than LeBron James. So,
oh, I see.
Anyway.
That's okay.
LeBron is, that's the thing about LeBron is like, again, whether you like him or don't like him, is that people are like, well, he's not a great scorer. He's right. not a great scorer. He's going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, barring injury.
Right.
And will be the greatest scorer of all time. But people to this day is like, well, he's not really like an elite scorer, you know.
Right. I don't really care. No,
anyway, yeah, Kareem, number one, LeBron, two, the mailman, number three, Karl Malone, number four, Kobe Bryant, number five, Michael Jordan, six, Dirk Nowitzki, seven, Wilt Chamberlain, number eight, Shaquille O'Neal, nine, Carmelo Anthony, 10, Moses Malone, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. I basically just throw Michael Jordan out there just to spite you.
Yeah, I know. All right. So let's, I guess here's a spiritual thought I have for today. In the Bible, is in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says, do not despise these small things, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. So I'm not trying to be topical or I'm not really speaking to that contextually, but rather kind of speaking to a topical principle. I'm going to share the story in as nice as a manner as possible. But let's just say it really was just like the other day. But let's just say I was at this event a while back, and it was just not like I didn't think it was that great.
Okay.
It was like a Christian event, you know, and everything. And and I just really wasn't feeling it and was like it just, you know, really poor turnout kind of thing like that, you know? And so anyway, I went away from him like, man, I took my time to go to this thing and be at this thing. And like, you know, my kids didn't really like it anyway, but, you know, as I'm driving home, I'm like, and with my negative attitude towards this, you know, event, I was like, I began to think, I'm like, but you know what? Praise God. Whoever did that, like, they wanted to do something for the Lord and they had a vision and a dream and they worked hard to put it together. And even though it wasn't some epic success, or at least I wouldn't have termed it that, right? Probably at least they did it for the Lord. And so I think a lot of our, you know, our Christian journey is more about the small things than the big things that we do, you know? And it's about being, I think the Bible even speaks to this too. It's about being faithful in the little things and not in the big things. And I think that's a lot of our spiritual journey. And we get caught up in the wanting to, you know, achieve. I know as a pastor, like, you know, it's all like, you know, you can always just be living on, oh, did it seem like there was a good amount of people here today or not? Is, you know, where's our church at in comparison to other churches? You know, is that event that we just did, was it a big success? Or not a success. And, you know, you can live and die on that a lot. And then that can affect you mentally and emotionally. And then the summation of your Christianity just becomes like a analytical, numeric based faith that you're living out. So it's kind of like, so in my world of being a pastor, it's like, well, you know, if my church isn't as big as this other guy's, that means just by the numbers means he's more successful. God must love him more. He's more blessed. He's more anointed.
Right.
And that's a very unhealthy way of thinking in operating in your Christian faith. But it can be that way, you know? Mm-hmm. And we talked about the other day in my master's class, we're talking about what if we all pastors came into the room and at no point in our discussions did we ever talk about success. Mm-hmm. And we just like fellowshiped as believers in Christ.
Yeah.
How would that change the dynamics? So what I'm trying to get at today is like, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, again, we're just being faithful to the Lord each and every day as men and women of God. And as we're following Jesus, it's not about it's not so much about the outcome, but it's about the being obedient in the process and doing what God is calling us to do and being obedient in that, you know, and then living with that. And that's, you know, that's how I'm looking at it. You know, it's like even the other day my daughter, she might be listening. I know she's frustrated because she didn't get an A in a class, you know, and it was just kind of like, well, the point I was trying to make was like, well, did you do the work? Like, did you work hard? Did you, you know, did you give your best? Did you know, can you honestly say that you did that? And then if you can, then it's like, you're not always going to get an A every time. You're not all, you know, like you're not going to crush it every single time. And I think that's a little bit of how I'm trying to process my spiritual journey, my life with Christ more and more is like, it's not always this big epic thing. And it's more about the daily grind of being a follower of Christ and living out obedience in the everyday, as opposed to just living my Christianity based off these big events or on one day of the week on Sunday for me as a pastor. So anyway, what'd you guys think about that? Greg Walden.
Well, there is some validity in the small things and stuff. And, like even personally, like when I'm sharing Jesus with somebody or talking to somebody about Jesus, you know, as a believer, I mean, we tend to want to talk to somebody about Jesus and they accept Jesus right there on the spot. But if they don't, then we think, oh, gosh, did I screw up or did I fail? Then I was talking to Sunday school class yesterday. I was talking about sharing Jesus to others with the Sunday school class yesterday. And it's like, you know, when you share Jesus with others, almost most time, other than not, they're not going to accept Jesus right there on the spot. Mm-hmm. Some people may laugh and scoff at you, make fun of you. Some, you know, in this day and age, some people may actually try to punch you. Mm-hmm. You know, some people may say thank you and whatever, but you might have a few small percentage that actually will accept Jesus right there when you talk to them, but not all the time. And it's like you share Jesus with somebody, and if they don't accept Jesus right there on the spot, you don't have to feel down and think, I failed. Mm-hmm. No, you did what God told you to do. God told you to plant the seed. And you might not be the one that actually gets to see the flower bloom, but you planted the seed. And I told him a story about when I was in Saudi Arabia. We had this one guy, and we talked to him about Jesus, and he was like making fun of you. He was laughing in your face, scoff, and just totally make fun of God and everything. Mm-hmm. And so, but we talked to him about Jesus, like, okay, then years went by, and I got assigned to Korea. So about 6 months while I was in Korea, I got a knock at the door about 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, who's knocking at my door? Open door, and there was this guy, and he was saved.
Wow.
So sometime between the time we talked to him about Jesus in Saudi Arabia and the time he knocked on my door in Korea a couple years later, at some point down in that 2 years, whatever, he got saved.
Yeah.
So that seed sprouted.
Yeah.
Somebody else may have talked to him, or he had a situation in his life pop up, whatever happened, and he just thought about, hey, this is what, you know, remember this guy talking to me about Jesus. There's something real about that, you know. So you know, but again, I said, your job is, you know, you share Jesus, you plant the seed, and you might, you know, plant the seed in a small gathering. Like you might have a small, like the event, like you're talking about, a little small event, might not be 50,000 people there or whatever, but you're planting the seed. And if one, you know, if you're able to reach one person, then you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's kind of convicting a little bit too, because when you're in ministry and God puts something in your heart to do, right? And then you plan out the event. The amount of work, you know, we do events all the time, you know, and whether or not that be for our church specific or, you know, our events for youth or, you know, the no price tag events we do, there's a ton of work that goes into that. And, you know, it's the amount of effort and work you put into it, and then how disappointing it is if it ends up not turning mm-hmm. out like you had expected, you know, and looking at an event that, yeah, maybe it wasn't great, but somebody, yeah, you know, like you said, God put that in their heart to do.
Right.
You know, and it that is convicting because I've been at events too. Right. I've been at events too where yeah. it's a, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to go to this, you know, that, oh, I don't want to, you know, but then when you walk away from it, you need to take perspective. Like somebody, God put that on somebody's heart.
Yep.
And the amount of work and effort and marketing and all that was put into it was very real for somebody, and it's important, mm-hmm. you know, and even in your daily life, you know, sometimes you go through periods where it's like, oh, you know, you get a very complaining spirit about you, you yeah. know, and it could be whatever, you know, I was somewhere the other day and I didn't want to be there, and it's like, oh my goodness. And you know, and I took a moment, I was like, you know what, you know, with ministry, life is hard with a family, you know, you're going 20 different directions, you know, you got regular life and ministry life mm-hmm. and all that. It's like, here I am, you know, with my kids and my wife, you know, I need to take a moment where I can just pause, you know, this, I don't have to clean up after this. I don't have to, you know, it's like, yeah. I can just be here with my family and enjoy it. And when I did that, it kind of changed my perspective on it, you know, and it went better after yeah. that.
I think a good question you can always just kind of remind yourself to is like, who are you doing this for?
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever you're doing, like, who are you doing it for? Mm-hmm. Hopefully for Jesus. Like, and I can relate. One of the events I had back in, when I was in Utah, I did this event. I had this dream of like doing a thing called Family Fest, and I wanted mm-hmm. it to be for families in the community. And I wanted to have, you know, a variety of bands and entertainers and inflatables. And so I remember the first year I did that, and then I did it, I wanted to do it with a real like unity mindset. So mm-hmm. basically our church name was not on any of the materials.
Right.
So it just said Family Fest and then my contact number. So it didn't even say the church. And so when I was pitching it to people, I'm like, this isn't even, you know, I did have to at some point be like, okay, I'm the pastor of so-and-so. But the first year that we did it, like it poured rain the entire day.
Yeah.
And it was an outdoor venue. And
yeah,
I don't know, maybe 50 to 100 people came. And I was, yeah, to me it was epic, epic failure.
Yeah.
But I learned.
I had a recent, you know, I'm very much about relationships. I love, you know, forming relationships, especially with I'm a youth pastor. So my belief is like, hey, we need to support each other, you know, and I had an idea for fellowship, and I set up the first fellowship, and, you know, I had told them all these guys a month in advance, and, we had the event, and it's me and my buddy Levi. Well, me and Levi are best friends anyway. He's a youth pastor in another church, but it was just me and him, mm-hmm. which it tends to be just me and him at anything I invite anybody for. But it was like this massive flop, and nobody else showed up. And I walked away from it kind of discouraged. And then I got a text from one of the youth pastors, and he's like, hey, he's like, I really appreciate you doing that, but he's like, with our ministry, we're busy all the time. And, you know, Monday nights is a night that me and my family get together, and we take that, and I protect it pretty closely. And it made me take a pause and be like, it's like, you know, we do, like all of us youth pastors, and I'm sure pastors the same way. It's like, we are constantly busy going after things.
Yep.
And when you have a family, it is important to stop and take a pause. So, you know, and I took a perspective. I was like, you know what? I need myself to also protect those times and protect time with my family. And, you know, I came away with a different attitude after that, because I was like, so bummed, because I set up this thing. I was like, all you pastors get together and, you know, help each other out. But it's like, you know, we do need family time too.
Right. Yep. And I think like church is like we shouldn't see fellow churches as competition type mm-hmm. thing. We should, you know, we're all one body. It's supposed to be one body of Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're supposed to, you know, support each other. And, you know, that X church could have, you know, 1,000 people. Y church could only have 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, again, it's not about the numbers, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think an effectiveness of a church is really how many people are getting the gospel, how many people are actually responding to it, mm-hmm. how many people are finding their ministry, mm-hmm. and, you know, serving God, actively pursuing what God's will is for their life, mm-hmm. versus having a church of 2,000 pew sitters. Yeah. Who are not after what God wants them to do. They're just sitting in a pew once a week.
Yeah.
They're not active. And I think a church of 100 people with 50 people who are actively pursuing God's will for their life, active in ministry, will be more effective than a church of 2,000, where you may have maybe 10 or 20 people doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day about, not being selfish with your faith and making sure that it's like, what was the last thing that Jesus told people to do? And it was like the Great Commission, yeah. right? Before he ascended. And it's like, okay, are you going week to week to church, based on like, hey, I'm trying to get something out of it for me? Do you have a relationship with God, and are you filling yourself with faith and reading the scripture to give it to somebody else? I think it's easy for us to get a selfish mentality, like, oh, I'm going to have a relationship with God, I'm going to read my Bible because I don't want to go to hell. That's inwardly and selfishly focused, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not how we're intended to be. It's very easy to sit in a church, I think, for 60 years and be about you every week. It's like, oh, what am I getting out of it? It's like, okay, but that's not the perspective you're supposed to have.
Right.
You're supposed to take that faith, and you're supposed to go out into the world, right? Making disciples, baptizing them. I think we're getting self-centered and self-focused. Same like we were talking about earlier with the event. It's like, oh, you didn't want to be there, whatever. And then you're like, oh, you know what? It's not always about me, mm-hmm. And I think that's a focus we need to start seeing as Christians. It's not about you. It's not about me. Christ gave it all.
Yep.
Right. Are you willing to do the same?
Yeah. And as I was saying, I was telling the kids yesterday morning, I was like, an interesting way to wake up every morning. I said, something we should do. It's like, so God, send somebody my way that I can minister to, mm-hmm. that I can share with. Just make that your prayer every morning. So God, put something in my path that I can minister to.
Yep.
There you go, guys. Don't despise small things. Just keep doing what God wants you to do each and every day. Try and hear his voice. Be obedient. Let your focus not be the result, but rather the obedience to what God's speaking inside of your life. And hopefully that ultimately, right, what you just said there, Greg Walden, is it results in ministering to someone else's life too. It's like, well, you had a great big event, but like, did you actually minister to someone? And we can all do that. We can all do that each and every day. In our lives, in our place of influence, work, family, etc. So there you go, guys, modern Christian dudes. We will talk to you next time.
On the board. It's time to take a ride on the NCT.
Funko Pop. Hey, guys, do you want to go to Lambert's? Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress. J-Money, just pop the mic, money. It's time for the MCT. Ladies and guys and ladies, MCT.